Well, how are you guys enjoying fall so far? Yeah? TGIF, thank God it's fall. It's all cooled down and it's gone down to a very cool 900 degrees. And anybody get caught outside doing work outside in the heat, whatever? It was kind of brutal, the humidity and all that was there. So I hear that it's supposed to get nice and cool here in a couple days, so we don't have to worry about that too much. But I tell you what, I'm just thankful. You guys know me, or at least you're getting to know me. If you don't know me yet, I love hot. I love the warmth. I would prefer that over blizzards and snow any day. I don't mind snow. Don't get me wrong. Just snow, be done, go away the next day. We're good. But apparently God doesn't revolve around me. So he does what he wants and says, love what I've given you. You know, this morning, before we get into it, there's a couple things I want to do. Number one is I've talked to you before about ELN, and it's been a while, but if you don't know what ELN is, it stands for Emerging Leadership Network, and it's an opportunity for young people who are looking for direction in life, and they want to take first step, but we're just kind of need some foundation. And so we have a student that's here, and his name's Michael Hadley. Actually, Michael, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and come on up, and we're just going to let him tell a little bit about himself, and he's here as our ELN student. So, Michael, welcome to the big booming town of Clinton, Iowa, but I understand that compared to the town you came from, we are like Chicago, Illinois. Is that right?
Yeah, just a touch of backstory, I mean, I came from the massive metropolis of Richland, Iowa, which is about 2.5 hours south of here, a very large town of 500 people. So, and my high school, which was 15 miles away, was literally in the middle of a cornfield. So just a little more backstory for you. About a year and a half ago, I just kind of got this weight on my heart from God saying, you need to lead the people. You need to be a worship pastor. So so then I learned about the ELN program, but a month after I felt this, and for reasons that I won't get into, I decided not to do it. So a year later, at this camp I just attended, leading worship for them, halfway through one of the songs, I actually couldn't continue to sing it because I was bawling. And God's just like, yeah, you remember that ELN program I told you about? You should go do that. So here I am. I just wanted to thank you guys for letting me come, like really seriously. I almost missed the deadline for all this, so just thank you guys so much for opening your doors to me.
So he basically said, I told you so. Yes. Don't you love it when God does that? You know, but he does it with such grace. Usually when we say that to one another, not as much grace. But today we're excited to have Michael here. You're going to see him. I want you to just encourage him. Ask him questions. Take him out for dinner. Feed the kid. You know, our goal is to put a good 35 pounds on him, at least, minimal. I know he says no, but I've been watching him eat lately, and I'm like, it's working. And but we'll, you know, I joke about feeding you physically, but we will feed you physically, don't worry. But I pray for spiritual, just that growth and that hunger to develop in his life. But this is going to require all of us. You're a part of this, okay? This is not, hey, Church of the Open Doors doing this program. We're just going to watch on the sidelines and we'll see if they do anything good or if this turns out bad. The success of anything that we do is going to be upon all of us. We're a church family. So I want you to pray for him. I want you to feel free to invite him over. Do what you can to pour in his life. You guys are leaders too, and you've got a lot that you can give. But I want to first and foremost just introduce him to you, and now what I'd like to do is have us pray for him. So I want to ask Lisa if you'd like to come up. Would you just extend your hand towards him as we pray for him as he enters this season in life? And we say, Father, we thank you, Lord God, for these new opportunities, these new seasons. Lord, there are times when we can kind of hit the Control-Alt-Delete and just have a refreshing, a new start. So, Father, I pray that as Michael steps into this season, Lord God, I pray that you would just give him wisdom from above. I ask for favor over his life, and that, Lord God, as he goes through each and every aspect, that, Lord God, as he takes those steps, that he knows that one step he takes in obedience is another step closer to your calling and your fulfillment. And, Lord, I pray that you would help him to walk in that. So we release that in his life. We ask for wisdom from you to help in that process so we can play our part, to say that at the end of it all, Lord, that you will be glorified and you will have all the honor and the glory. We pray in your name. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Michael. Let's give him a hand, all right? Thank you, Michael. His goal is to be a worship pastor. However, you know, you're going to see him doing a lot of little things, you know, because, you know, my goal is to be the president of the United States. They're not going to just stick me in the White House, okay? You have to go through and you have to develop, and that's the process. So we're going to have him in areas that deal with media for a while, and then he'll be over with maybe with, we're kind of putting the plane together as we fly it, you know, the different areas, children, there's going to be a worship aspect, and you'll see him around. So be sure to say hello to him. Now, I want to get into this. If you're here and you've not been here in the last couple weeks, I just want to give you a heads up. We started a series called The Rhythm of Life, okay? And this series that we're talking about has to do with the Sabbath. So if you are here and you're a guest or you've not been here in a while, feel free to fill out one of those connection cards. You can take them and get a free cup of coffee. But I put them out there because, number one, if it's your first time, I want to get to know you. We're going to be changing them up in a little bit. You'll see new cards soon, semi-soon. Or we'll just ask for your email and how you want to get connected. Because I want you to know when we get those, we pray for you. If you say, hey, I need prayer for this, we stop right there. And I sit at my desk and I pray for you guys. But I just want to go ahead and fill those out. We want to get a chance to get to know you and just connect with you. But as we enter into this season of Sabbath, this is a series that it's kind of foreign. So I want you to just kind of hang loose with me a little bit. Just kind of relax. Don't get stressed. When we talk about Sabbath, it's kind of a foreign concept, because if I were to ask you here today, how many of you Sabbath? Probably none of us would raise our hands, almost none of us. But yet it's a command that's given in the Bible. God tells us that we're to honor the Sabbath and keep it holy, but yet we don't really do it. But it's not because we don't love God, and it's not because we don't honor him, because we do love God, right? Y'all better say right. You're in his house right now. So. we love God. That's not the question. We want to honor God with our lives. Absolutely. But when you say honor the Sabbath and keep it holy, we go, whatever that means, okay, and we move right on to the others. Don't kill, don't steal, don't covet, don't make, you know, worship other idols. But the, actually, the command to Sabbath, to honor the Sabbath, is the longest command in the Ten Commandments. I think it's the longest because there's something God wants to show us. So I want us to just keep this in the simplest form, okay? I don't want to make this too difficult that we start getting so religious and so legalistic that we start talking about cultures and customs and what Sabbath is and what Sabbath is not, and we miss the whole point that it's simply about honoring God intentionally with our lives. That's what it boils down to. I hope today to paint a little bit better picture for you. I know some of you have been struggling a little, going, oh, Pastor, the Sabbath thing, I still have a lot of questions, and I know, and we're going to answer them, but it's like Christmas. You can open, did you ever get this? I used to love these gifts. You get a box, and when you open the box, there was like 13 other wrapped gifts in the box. Now no longer do I have one gift, but I have 13 little ones that make up the big gift, and I can take my time, and I can enjoy it. You see, I'm hoping to unpack this over time. So that we can learn together. We're going to answer some of these questions, and I'll get to them. But before we do, I just want to pray. And I want to ask the Lord to just prepare our hearts so there's just no distractions. And please, as we talk, would you just let the Holy Spirit speak to you what it is that he wants to say. So, Father, we come before you and say that any distraction that the enemy attempts to bring, Lord, that it would fail in the name of Jesus. Lord, we want to hear you. We want to draw near to you. You are our Abba Father. You're our Daddy Father. We want to hear what you have to say to us today. So, Lord, I pray that all distractions would be removed. And, Father, I pray that you would help us to not make this so difficult that we just want to throw it out. But rather, would you simplify it for us so we understand what it means to bring glory and honor in a greater way to you. In your name, amen. I'm going to ask this, even as Lisa comes, we've done this the last few weeks, and I feel like I just need to say it in case you're visiting and you're going, dude, why is your wife lighting a candle? Jewish custom, when they were getting ready to honor the Sabbath, is the woman would come forward, she would light the candle. And if you remember, in Jewish custom, the reason that they would light the candle was for two reasons. One was to remember, and one was to observe. You remember the good things that God has done for you, and you observe the many blessings that God has given to you in your life. In the book of the Old Testament. I think it's Exodus. It might be Numbers, but it's somewhere in the middle, okay? But God said, you are to honor the Sabbath. Because remember in Exodus, they were captive in Egypt. He freed his children. They're going across to the promised land. And God says, honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. You do this to honor me for bringing you out of bondage and out of slavery. Never forget that. Because you and I, we're to do the same thing. Because you and I have been a slave to sin. Amen? We have been in bondage, but God is our deliverer. So he says, remember and observe. So that's why they light the candle. Now, what happens if you don't light the candle? Is the Sabbath, you know, screwed up? It's just the candle, okay? Now, their Jewish customs, yes, they very much so. You're going to have a candle. This is just a physical reminder of a spiritual principle. That's all. So the last couple weeks, we handed out your Sabbath starter candles. If you didn't get one, I don't have any more, but thank God for Hobby Lobby. Amen, ladies? And they have candles galore. So you will be able to get your candle and start that. You know, people have asked, if I light the candle when I leave the house, should I blow it out or should I keep it going? Blow it out. Don't let your house burn down. It's just a physical reminder of a spiritual principle. Blow the sucker out. You can light it again, okay? See, don't overthink it. Don't make it something it's not. There's some weeks, we try to do it, but we don't want to become religious, right? Don't become religious, but there's some times when we Sabbath, we don't light the candle. You know why? Because I forgot. Or we left the house and came back, and I don't feel like walking across the room to light the candle. If I'm not feeling it, I'm not getting off that couch and going and lighting the candle. God is still God. He's still on the throne. We're all good, okay? Don't get hung up in that stuff. Now, in honoring God, we started a message last week, and for some reason that clock went really, really fast, and so we have to finish it up this week. So there is an outline if you'd like to follow along with this week. I'm going to tell you the four principles once again, and then I will back up and I will go through the outline, because I know that you guys need, you know, if you don't get those blanks filled in, there's going to be a war. So, and we don't want war, so we're going to fill those out. But we're talking about the rhythm of life. As I talk about Sabbath, it is a foreign concept, but I want to try to defunkify, if that's a word I can use, you know, how can we Sabbath in the way the Bible talks about it and actually honor God in our homes, in our lives, in the 21st century with all the techno-craziness and busyness of this world. You know, I was driving the other day and I thought to myself, has technology really increased the gospel of Jesus Christ and really helped to proclaim his message, or has it maybe possibly hindered it? You know, I don't have the answer to that. I'm going after my master's, so I started asking myself a lot of weird questions here lately. And I was just kind of thinking, but I got wondering, you know, the one thing that's never changed, if you grew up in the 80s, your 80s mentality does not work today, does it? If you grew up in the 50s and the 40s, the way that you grew up and the things that you listened to and liked and learned, it doesn't work now. Why? Times have changed. Cultures have shifted. But there are principles that remain the same over periods of time. And the principles I want to give you this morning, the four of them are stop, rest, delight, and contemplate. What are the principles to Sabbathing? Stop. Number two is rest. Number three is delight. And number four is contemplate. People have asked me, Pastor, how do you do it though? How do you Sabbath? And I tell them, you stop, you rest, you delight, you contemplate. Well, let me unpack that a little bit further and what that means, because we've got to understand this concept. I was helping yesterday along with many other parents, and maybe some of them are here today. Clinton High School does a marching band competition. They're crazy days. You go there, you take all the equipment. These guys have been marching around in the sun. And remember, it was hot, hot, hot out yesterday. They're out marching around. Then we load up their equipment. We drive to Cedar Rapids. We unload the equipment, take it out in the field. They do their musical thing. We get back in the trailer. We come home. We go to bed asking ourselves, why did we sign up for this? you know, just craziness. But it was a great time, and they did an awesome job. By the way, Clint got 3rd out of 7, I think, and their drum line got 1st, which I was awful proud of because that's my boy, you know, and they did an awesome job. But here's what happened on the way there. I said, where are we going? Because I didn't know where we were going. And I made the mistake of asking 4 people at the same time, first of all. There's a group of people. Where are we going to? Well, we're going to the high school in Cedar Rapids. Well, there's an awful lot of high schools in Cedar Rapids. Can you be a little bit more clear? They said, well, we're going to the one in Marion. We're going to be in Marion. I said, okay, Marion, the high school. No, not the high school, the field. You want to go to the field where they play? Okay, that one. So where they play is where I want to go. Yes, the Marion High School. The actual school or the field? Well, the field. Which one? You know, by this time I'm like, I'm totally confused and I'm done. So I'm like, check, please. And I thought, I'm done asking, and I walked away, still not knowing where I'm going. I know it's in Cedar Rapids, and I know it's going to be a football field, but I'm not sure which one. So I talked to a gentleman who was pulling the trailer. His name's Bill. And I said, Bill, I said, do you know where you're going? Because he's one of those guys that knows exactly where he's going, and how, he can tell you where to go and how to get there in a nice way. You know, he can say, go over on Highway 30, catch 151, turn left on First Avenue, go past, you know, Miller's old home, and the dog will be barking out there, and there you go, you're going to be. He knows his directions. You know what I'm talking about? Those kind of people. And he goes, do you know the one I'm talking about? And I said, I have no idea. I said, can somebody just give me, I rely on my GPS. Give me an address and let me type it in. Nobody could give me the location. They just wanted to tell me what they thought and what they felt. And that wasn't good enough. So Bill said, just follow me. Okay. The problem is, Bill, if you're watching, I love you. Bill likes to go a little bit under the speed limit. And I am a stickler to go the speed limit. Okay, maybe a little above it. I like to goose the gas a little bit, okay? You know, 65 miles per hour, they kind of maybe put question marks on them, kind of like, you know, 65? You know, that's the way I've been interpreting it. Maybe I go a little bit faster. I'm saying this as I see 2 or 3 policemen over on this side. I'm going to go over here. And, but I've got, here's the problem. I'm following this guy, and I'm thinking, you're going so slow. And in my mind, I thought, I'm going to pass him, and I'm going to get there because we got places to go, people to see, right? There's only one problem. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know where I'm going. So in my mind, I've passed him 3 or 4 times. I picture myself blowing by him, brrr, the sound of my engine, you know, leaving him in the dust. Or I picture in my mind, man, I could be there 20 minutes early if only I knew where I was going, but I don't. So I'm destined to follow Bill. Now, there was nothing wrong with Bill's speed limit. There was nothing wrong with his driving. He knew where he was going, and all he said was, follow me. Now, I could have passed him, and I actually thought about passing him, but I didn't pass him because I thought, as soon as I pass him and I take a guess, I throw a Hail Mary out there because I think I know where I'm going, I'll be driving down the road looking at Bill, and all of a sudden, he'll go off to the right because if I'm going the wrong direction, do you think he's going to follow me? Oh, no, no, no. He knows where he's going. And he is going to get there. He has told me to follow him. Now my job is to follow him. You see, many times in life we say, man, we got places to go, people to see. We got to move. Let's go, go, go. God, what's next? Where are we going? How are we going to get this done? How am I going to make the money? I got to get the job. I mean, I got to have the job to make the money. I got to have the money so I can make the house payment. And we just got to keep all these plates spinning, God. And God comes to us and says, here's how you're going to do it, Sabbath. And it's like, what? You're telling me to do the one thing that I, in my mind, think would be the opposite, that would work against all this stuff I'm trying to get done, and you're telling me to Sabbath. Now, just to refresh you a little bit, your outline there says, I'll give you some blanks to fill in. Sabbath means to cease or to stop. The Hebrew word is Shabbat, which is it's Sabbath. It means to stop, to cease, to stop doing the work. And when people hear that, they think, I can't stop. I've got so much to do. But I would pose the question that, or maybe it's a statement, you're not going to be able to accomplish all that you need to unless you learn what it means to rest. I'm not talking about rest, just sitting back in a hammock, though that's involved in it. talking about resting in his presence and what that means. See, the Sabbath calls us to build the doing of nothing into our schedules each week. Absolutely nothing. He says, I call you to do nothing and have this nothingness where it's not just sitting around being a bump on a log, but creating space to honor God. Remember the Sabbath and keep it what? Holy. How do you keep it holy? You build some nothingness into your week. Well, that just goes against my thinking, and that's why you're stuck. And that's why life gets away. And that's why it's been so chaotic and stressful, and nothing ever goes my way, and when am I going to catch a break? You see, when you rest in the presence of the Lord, and we're going to talk about what that means, because I say things like this, rest in the presence of the Lord. That sounded pretty spiritual, didn't it? You're like, ooh, that sounded good, man. You learned that in Bible college, didn't you? What does that mean? What does it look like? And how do I live it out? That's what I want to attempt to break down here and to talk about. In Isaiah chapter 58, Isaiah chapter 58, let me read. This was last week's text, but I'm going to, read it one more time. Isaiah the prophet takes some time and says this about the Sabbath. If because of the Sabbath you turn your foot from doing your own pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and honor it, desisting from your own ways, from seeking your own pleasures, and speaking your own words, then you will take delight in the Lord. When do you take delight in the Lord? After you have turned from your own ways, your own thinking, your own, all that stuff. Verse 14, then you will take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth, and I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. You see, God says that when you honor him, he will take care of the rest. God said this in the Bible, Genesis. He created everything. God worked. He says, we're to work. And then on the seventh day, God did what? He rested. So we are to rest. He sets the example for us. See, many of us understand that. We're like, yeah, I get the principle of work, but we don't understand what it means to rest. Because if we rest, that means we're being lazy. Or that means we're not being successful. Or that means that something's wrong. That doesn't necessarily mean that. Some of us understand the principle of rest and don't understand the principle of work. God, he says there's a balance. You have to have both. You can't rest from something you're not doing. Go do some work. And then rest from that work in order to honor God. Not yourself, not anybody else, but to honor God. You see, the Sabbath was a sign of liberation by God. By the very act of refusing to succumb to the enormous pressures of Western culture around us, well, we too serve as a sign of a free people. We've been freed from the sin in our life. We've been freed from the bondage. And God is calling us to this place of Sabbath. See, the Sabbath calls us to build the doing of nothing into our schedules each week. Nothing measurable is accomplished during this time. By the world's standard, it's probably going to look inefficient, unproductive, and useless. That's probably what it's going to look like. One theologian stated, I think I put it in your outlines there, to fail to see the value of simply being with God and doing nothing is to miss the heart of Christianity. It's to miss the heart of Christianity. See, for this reason, it was always said for over 3,500 years that the Sabbath has kept the Jews more than the Jews have kept the Sabbath. Remember, the Sabbath was made for you and for me. It's something that we have to understand. Observing the Sabbath will affirm this. God is the center. God is the source of our lives. He is the beginning. He's the middle. He's the end. There's a gentleman by the name of Eugene Peterson. He's done a lot of writing on Sabbath, and he put this statement. It's in your outlines there. It says, Sabbath is not primarily about us or how it benefits us. It's about God and how God forms us. I don't see any way out of it. If we're going to live appropriately in the creation, we must keep the Sabbath. Well, that led us to our four principles of understanding what it means to Sabbath. How in the world are we going to Sabbath in a 21st century world where there's just this craziness in life? Everything's so busy. Well, we started last week by saying it starts with this number one principle, stopping. It starts with stopping. That sounds backwards, doesn't it? But it starts with stopping. You cannot get it. Stop, rest, delight, contemplate. We all want the delight process, but you don't get that until you stop and rest. Then delight naturally comes. There's still choices you have to make, but you must do this first part. One of the greatest dangers in your outline, the blank there if you didn't get it, one of the greatest dangers of faithfully observing the Sabbath, though, is legalism. Be careful of that. We're not concerned about, oh my gosh, we didn't light the candle. Jesus is so displeased with me right now. Did you Sabbath? Yes. He's just fine. And so are you. Okay? He's not concerned about the candle. I've had before where in the middle of a Sabbath, it takes practice, by the way. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to finish this today, my plan. Next week, I won't be here. I have a wedding. Lisa and I have a wedding that we're going to do on a Sunday. This is the first. But it's for a friend of ours. And so you get the other Pastor Jim. And he's going to come and share. And then the next week, we're going to do a message called TGIF. Thank God it's Friday. Because when you understand what it means to Sabbath correctly or properly, I'm not talking spiritually or, you know, just when you just start intentionally Sabbathing and working at it, you'll understand, number one, you have to prepare for it. But number two, you're going to be excited about it. You're going to look forward to it. This is something that when you understand this, it's going to do something new in your life, but don't get caught in the legalism part. We have to jump through these hoops. You see, the key is to set a regular rhythm of keeping the Sabbath every 7 days for a 24-hour block. Now, I have asked the church, I've asked you guys to Sabbath with me from Saturday to Sunday, right? Now, here's what I want to tell you, and this was key for people in first service. I had many of them come and say, oh, thank you for telling me this. Here's the key in Sabbathing. Pick a 24-hour block of time in your week that you can intentionally Sabbath. I offered to you Saturday and Sunday the first 2 or 3 weeks or however many weeks we've been doing this, because if I aim down here and I say, hey, just do whatever you want to do, what are we going to do? The absolute minimum. So I aimed high, and I said, let's go from Saturday to Sunday. Now, I know some of you here are going, oh, Pastor, you know I love you, but I work. You know, I'm a policeman. I work shifts. I'm a doctor. I never know what's going to happen. I'm a farmer. I'm always out in the field. And these days, you know, here's the thing about Sabbath. It's not necessarily, hear my heart, not necessarily about when you do it. It's about do you do it. We okay? Okay. Let me give you an example. I can feel free to say this a little bit now. I'm trying to unpack it slowly. That's all I'm doing. We, in Jewish culture, the Sabbath is from sundown Friday to sundown on Saturday. In the Christian community, we celebrate Sunday as the Sabbath, the Lord's Day. But this is the day, you know, when we can say Sunday is our Sabbath day. Okay, you can say that, but are you actually Sabbathing? Are you actually resting? Because there's a difference between in our world, what we're doing is we're busy, we're going over here, and I got to take care of this, and then I got to go over here, and I got to take care of this, and then now I got to be over here, and we're kind of chasing. You ever have those times in your home when you feel like as a husband and wife, you've had enough time, like two ships passing in the night? You get time to just say hello because you're so busy. But you see, busyness can also look like this. It can look like you sitting at home, at the table, on a chair. You're not moving around. You're not, ooh, I just about broke that. You're just sitting at home. You're not running around, but in your mind, you've got about 500 things that are zipping through. Things I got to do, things I got to take care of. And you're just staring off into space because you're trying to process all of it. And then somebody says, hey, what's the matter? Everything okay? What you thinking? And you go, nothing. But really, you've got 5 million things going on. You see, we're busy, 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 busy all the time. Sabbath says stop. Put that aside. Set that aside. Why? Because when you intentionally stop, you're declaring this one fact that the world will continue to evolve without your input. Did you know that? If you were to actually rest like God asked you to, this world will keep on spinning. There still will be a job. There's still going to be things to do. The stuff you need to do will still be waiting for you. But you can be more flexible. For example, today is not a Sabbath day for me. This is a work day. if you didn't know that, by the way. This is a work day, so I'm not really resting. I enjoy this. I love to do this. Now, though I've asked the church from Saturday to Sunday, we start ours a little bit earlier so we can get done a little bit earlier before the Sunday hits, okay? So who did it right? You, me, them, them? Are you doing it? You can adjust that, but the way the Sabbath starts is by stopping. When you stop, to stop is built literally into the word Sabbath, Shabbat. It means to stop, to cease. Yet most of us can't stop until we're finished doing whatever it is we need to do. We've got emails that we've got to answer. We've got to return phone call messages. We've got to balance the checkbook. We got to pay the bills. We got to finish cleaning the house. We got to do the dishes. We got to make sure that, you know, the yard gets mowed. We got to trim the tree. We got to trim the bush. We got to rake the leaves. We got to get the decorations out. There's always going to be one more goal to be reached before stopping. And if you're waiting for your goals to be reached before you stop, you'll never stop. You'll never stop. You'll never rest and you'll never delight. So it starts with stopping. On Sabbath, what you and I are doing is embracing the limitations that we have in our lives. Did you know that you're limited? Did you know that? You don't believe me? Go home and put a 5-pound weight in your arm, hold it out there, and see how long you can keep it there. A day? Two? A week? No, you won't be able to do that. Why? Because you have a physical limitation and it'll become heavy. It's only 5 pounds, but there's a limitation. So it is in your life. The rhythms that we've built into our culture, our society, where go, 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 that even the 5-pound things will become the heaviest things because we don't know what it means to stop. I would propose to you that if you learn what it meant to stop and honor the Lord, God will honor you. And here's one of the things, I think I shared this last week, but I'm going to tell you, when I started to do the Sabbath, I said the same thing. I've got a lot to do. I don't have time to Sabbath. But when I started actually obeying the Lord, I got more done in 6 days and honoring the Lord on the Sabbath than I did in 7 days of doing it my way. I got more done. How did that happen? I have no idea, and I really don't want to try to figure it out. It was just cool. I obeyed the Lord. I trusted Him, and He came through, so I think I'm going to try it again and again and again and again. See, I think God knows a little something. That's why He tells us to stop. He's not saying don't work and don't have a good work ethic. No, He's saying have a good work ethic. When I was 16 years old, I got a job, my first job at Jewel Food Store. And that's where it started. Now, I went through a lot of jobs as I was growing up. I kept kind of job hopping all over the place. But I always had a job. I was always working. There's only a few seasons where I was out of a job. And that was difficult. And I didn't understand it. So I had a good work ethic, but what I did not have a good ethic in was what it meant to Sabbath, to stop and honor the Lord. I'm 47 years old, and I'm just now learning what it means to stop and honor the Lord with a portion of my life. God wants my time. God wants yours. He wants to be a part of this with us, and He's calling us to come to this place of stopping and honoring Him. We stop on Sabbaths because God is on the throne, and we honor Him. He's assuring us the world will not fall to pieces without us being involved. When we're sleeping, by the way, you know what He's doing? He's working. He's working. When you are sawing logs and your wife's nudging you, saying, roll over, God's working away. He's got this thing covered. When you're on vacay and you're enjoying, I can tell who the snorers are right now. When you're on vacay and you're having a great time and you forgot about all the worries of the world, God is at work and He's taking care of things. He's got this covered. As a matter of fact, it's in your outlines, Psalms 46:10. Very important principle. Let's read this one together. You ready? Go. Be still and know that I am God. Very short verse, very powerful one. Why? Because, first of all, it starts with this, be still. Let's just stop right there. Really? How many of you have children that you sat in the corner, maybe time out, and said, sit still? How did that go? They're squirming, moving all around, touching stuff, and picking knickknacks off the wall. And stop touching stuff. Be still. Sit still. It's almost like they can't do it, and you just want to look at them and go, what's wrong with you? But yet God tells us, He says, be still. And we start touching everything. We start messing with things. Now, I'm not saying that God would look at you and say, what's wrong with you? But he says, be still. Why? So that you may know. So that you may know that I am God. You are not. I'm not. He is. How am I going to know that? By being still. Stopping. Stopping. You're not going to experience the knowing of him until you stop. How do I know that? Well, his word just said, be still. Be still. It also says in Matthew chapter 6, don't worry about tomorrow. I'm just going to paraphrase it. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's got enough worries of its own. In other words, stop. Stop. Just stop. See, the core spiritual issue of stopping revolves around this word, and that word is trust. Do you trust the Lord? Do you trust him? If you cannot stop, I'm just going to put it out there. Is it because you don't trust him? Is it because you trust you more or somebody else? Because at the very core issue of this is about trusting the Lord. So he calls us to stop. When I trust God and obey his commands, here's what he does for me. He provides. He's our provider. Jesus takes our loaves and our fishes that we offer to him, even though they're insufficient to feed multitudes, and somehow he miraculously and invisibly multiplies them. You might say, I don't have much money to trust the Lord. I don't have much time to give. I don't have, you know, my kids and my marriage feels like a mess, but God says, but will you give it to me? And when you do, he has a way of miraculously getting in there and flipping things around when you stop and you're still and you know that he's God. He says, stop and know that I'm God. We can trust him enough to stop. I'm telling you, we can trust him enough to stop. Now, it's up to you whether you agree with that or not, whether you make it a part of your life. Stop, which leads to the second point, which is rest. Once we stop the Sabbath, then the Sabbath calls us to rest. It calls us to rest. God rested after he created the world. Genesis chapter 2, he created each day, and then at the after 6 days of creation on the seventh day, it says that he rested. He set that example for us. So now that I've stopped, Pastor, what do we do to replace all that we've now stopped during our Sabbath time? The answer is this. Get ready to write this down. It's not in a bullet. There's nothing there. Just write this down. What am I going to do with all my time? If I do stop, that means there's going to be a lot of space filled up with nothingness. So in the midst of that nothingness that I've built into my life, what am I supposed to do? Write this down. Whatever delights and replenishes you. Whatever delights and replenishes you. That's what you do. You don't sit around and start just going, I'm just going to stop and go, oh, be quiet in God's presence for 24 hours because that would be very boring. We just said, as kids, we can't even sit still for a few minutes. I can't even sit still to follow Bill on the way to Cedar Rapids. I want to pass him in the truck. You don't have to be religiously weird. He says, what do you do when you stop? You rest, and that means you do whatever delights and replenishes you. Let me give you paint you a little picture of what, we're going to be painting pictures along this series, okay? Because people have been asking questions like, what does Sabbath look like? What can I do? What can't I do? What's right? What's wrong? What's left? What's right? What's up? What's down? You know, there's a lot of questions. There's not necessarily the formula. We're not as concerned about that. Keep it simple and catch God's heart. Honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. How? By stopping and now resting. Choose what replenishes you. What we'll do is when our Sabbath starts, we'll light a candle, usually. Sometimes we don't. Oh no, did we disappoint the Lord? No, he's not concerned about the candle. But the reason we do it is to remind us, because sometimes I'll be walking through the house and I'll be heading upstairs to go get something because I got a task on my mind, and I'll see that candle over there flickering away, and I'll be like, oh, that's right, go sit back down. Go do something, because I was heading to go do a task or something. I'm not saying you can't do anything. I'm saying that it's about remembering and observing. So we'll light the candle. Then what we do is typically we'll discuss together how we want to spend our Sabbath. Like I said, when we talk about TGIF, we're going to talk about how to prepare for the Sabbath, because you can't just walk into a Sabbath blindly. You have to prepare for it. Remember Jesus, I think it's the book of Luke, died on the cross. They came to get his body, Mary and some of the girls, and they were preparing his body. And it says that they stopped. They stopped. They stopped taking care of Jesus, his dead body. Now, we know Jesus wasn't there. They stopped. This is like Jesus, you know. Jesus. They stopped. Why? You know why they stopped? To go prepare for the Sabbath. They said, we want to honor the Lord with our life so much that his dead body will be here when we get done with the Sabbath. Now, I don't mean that in a crude or harsh way, but that's what they said. And they went and they prepared for the Sabbath and they honored the Lord. And guess what? Jesus' dead body was still there. And they came back and finished honoring the Lord by taking care of it. Now, if they can do that, can't we not take some time to stop? What am I going to do when I stop for 24 hours? Whatever replenishes you, whatever it is that delights you. What we'll do is we'll get a meal at nighttime. Now, our kids are teenagers, so they don't necessarily, it's not like we can make them Sabbath, but we invite them to Sabbath with us. Typically, they don't. When we first started doing it, they were kind of like, oh, mom and dad are doing some weird things, so let's take on some more hours at Hy-Vee or something, I don't know. But then I think as they watch over time, they're realizing, hey, wait a minute. I took on more hours at work to avoid this thing, and they're sitting around doing nothing. They're resting. They're relaxing. They're going for walks. They're going to restaurants. They're going out and enjoying one another. And so what we'll do is on Friday evenings, we'll invite them to come play a game, you know. Saturday, come on down, and we'll play some cards. Or we'll play a board game or something that gets us around the table, and we're hanging out together. We'll go to bed, and then we'll sleep in the next day on purpose. That's right, I said it. We're going to sleep in. We're not getting up early. And you know what else we don't do on the Sabbath? We don't make our bed. All my life, Jim, make your bed. 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 And then I read the Bible and God says, don't make your bed. I'm like, I'm liking this. Now, if you're visiting, it really doesn't say that in the Bible. That's what I heard. You know why? Because that bed's still going to be messed up when my Sabbath gets over. Of course, I've been telling my mom that for how many years? You know, why make the bed? It's just going to have to remake it the next day. But that never flew. I looked at her first service when I was saying it, and she looked at me like, I'm not buying it. So we don't make our bed. We get up and we get some breakfast. And one of the things I like to do is I like to either make soup or bake something. I don't always do it. We'll do that. Lisa really loves to do fall decor, stuff outside in the house. Well, isn't that work? No, it delights her heart. It doesn't delight mine, but it sure delights hers. So she does that. Sometimes what we'll do is we'll go for a walk hand in hand around the yard and we start just noticing all the beautiful things. Sometimes we'll go to LeClaire and we'll go to a few shops and then we'll go to the Blue Iguana and eat some food and then we'll come home. Sometimes we'll go to DeWitt and I'll tolerate those little shops because I know down the road there's that chocolatier. Yeah? You know what I'm talking about? He's down there. So I find great delight and it replenishes me. And we enjoy our time together and then we come home and then we just, whatever we want, we just have a fun time and then our Sabbath's over. And at first it started this way. Oh my gosh, we got a Sabbath. We got to figure out how to do this. And then we would finally get to the end of the Sabbath, and we'd be like, okay, now we're done. Let's get back to life. And then when I started learning about Sabbath, now it's kind of like, oh man, Sabbath is coming, and we're getting excited. And then we enjoy the Sabbath, and when the Sabbath ends, we're like, oh dang it, the Sabbath's over already? Starting to change. Why? Because we've learned to stop. We've learned to rest. You see, for me to enjoy Sabbath rest, on Saturday requires me to do it another day. You may have to look at that. You may have to adjust your time. Oh, when do we do it? 3 to 3, 2 to 2, 11 to 11, half a day here, half a day there. You know what? You need to work that out in your home, in your setting. But my question is are you doing it? Are you stopping and resting? When we stop and rest, we respect our humanity and the image of God within us. We don't serve the Sabbath, remember. The Sabbath serves us. And then we, number three, delight. God, when he created everything in Genesis, day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, each day when he created something, how did he end his creation? He ended it by saying, he looked at it and said, it is good. He delighted. He delighted. He said, I made the fish of the, not the fish of the air, the fish of the sea. I'm getting there. My brain's like zipping here. The fish of the sea and the birds of the air and the clouds and the mountains. And I made it all and I stepped back and went, whoa, it is good. Wow. And then the next day, he made all the vegetation. He created you, and he said, it is good. And he even created me and said, it's good. And that blows my mind. And we've been made in his image. He was delighting. And he calls you and I to delight. Sabbath didn't start in Exodus. It started in Genesis when God set the stage. I think God knows a little something. If you're here today and your life is crazy and you potentially have checked your brain about 20, 30 minutes ago because you got so many things to do, I would just like to pose to you that I think God knows what he's talking about. I think he knows what he's doing. And I think we've just become so busy. But if we would learn to stop and rest, delight would naturally happen. Delight would naturally happen. Because of the way pleasure and delight has been so distorted by our culture, many of us, as Christians, struggle with receiving joy. We struggle with receiving pleasure. We almost feel guilty if we actually enjoy a day off and relaxing. And we struggle with that at times. Hold on a minute, guys. Okay, just had to check the clock there. We struggle with it because we're like, if I do nothing, then I'm wasting my time, and time is valuable. Time is money, and money is important. And we're totally got everything misprioritized. God calls us to delight in his presence. On Sabbath, we're called to enjoy and delight in a few things. In your outlines there, it says that we're called to delight. That first little bullet is that we're called to delight in creation and its gifts. That means you go for a walk. And sometimes when I go for a walk with my wife, you know what makes me the happiest? It's not even the walk, and it's not even what I'm looking at. It's because I'm holding my wife's hand. And it's been a while since we've gone out and had a walk, and it's just time to have together. It's nice, and we're delighting in that time together. When's the last time you looked out around you and just enjoyed the beauty of what God's created for you, the things that he's placed within your life? On Sabbaths, we're called to enjoy and delight in creation and in God's gifts. We're also called to delight in people. In people. Now, you might say, is that just the people I like? Or do I have to delight in the people I don't like as well? Well, I would say this. I would say that we are called to delight in God's people. We are all his children. We are all, now, we may not like everybody, but we are all children of God. And just because somebody may be a jerk, don't forget that you may have been a jerk one day yourself, okay? You can delight in the fact, you know what I started to do on my Sabbath? It just so happens Sabbath falls when we're going to those band competitions I was telling you about. And so I was like, well, I'm not really Sabbathing, Lord. I'm working my tail off. I'm working harder on my Sabbath, you know what I mean? But the thing was, is I was delighting in hanging out with my kid. I was delighting in my wife and I being able to serve and build relationships. That's a Sabbath. See, you're not doing work. You're just not doing work because you have to. You're doing it because you delight in it. And so if you delight in people, I started looking around me and I thought, man, there's a bunch of people here. It's 15, 20 people. So I started just starting to kind of put myself out there and I said, hey, how you doing? What's your name? Oh, Dennis? Okay, nice to meet you. What's your name? Bill? Okay, Jeremy? And I went through, and I just started meeting these people. You know, how are you doing? What's your wife's name? You got how many kids? What grade are they in? Where are they going to go? What are they going to do? Oh, that's perfect. You know, you got a church you're plugged into? You do? Great. Okay, and if you don't, I'll invite you. And we just get talking, you know. We got to find a time when your family and my family, we can go out and get some dinner. You guys like mezcal? Let's go out there. And we just start talking. You know what I'm doing? I'm intentionally delighting in his people. It was a joy to be with them. You're gonna find that there's people around you in your neighborhood. You don't even know who they are. You don't know the first thing about them because you've not taken time to delight in the people God has given us. The other thing he calls us to delight in is healthy play. He calls us to delight in healthy play. The word chosen, I put this on there, I'm gonna mutilate it, something fierce, okay? Because I Googled all I could and couldn't find out how to pronounce it. But it's a Greek word, perichoresis. That's horrible, isn't it? But that word right there, here's what the word means in Greek. When they were talking about the word Sabbath and the delighting and healthy play, the word chosen by the Greek fathers for this perfect definition of mutual indwelling of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, is this word, which literally means dancing around. It means dancing around. When he calls us to Sabbath and healthy play, he's basically saying creation and life are in a sense, God's gift of a playground to you and me. God has given us this world. I mean, watch kids on a playground. When they go to school, what was your favorite thing about school? It was either school's over, lunchtime, or recess. And when they go out there, or at least it was mine, and when I went out for recess, it's because I got to play. I got to play in the jungle gym. I got to hang upside down on the monkey bars. I was swinging as high as I could. You know, you get so high on the swing, eventually the chain goes, you know, and you just keep swinging as high as you can. It was fun. God says, I've given you this world as a playground, and you are to enjoy it. You are to delight in it, and you are to dance around in it and enjoy the gift that I have given to you. Creation and life are a playground for you and for me. And you see, when you stop and you rest and you delight, you're left with contemplation. To contemplate is when you're sitting back and you're saying, Lord, you see, the Sabbath is always holy to the Lord. He tells us that in Exodus. But you're pondering the love of God. It remains the central focus of your Sabbath. Pondering the love of God remains that central focus. And throughout Jewish and Christian history, Sabbaths included worship with God's people. That's what we're doing here today. It included the reading and the studying of Scripture. We've been doing that today. Here's the other thing it included: silence. Now, that's a weird one for our culture. Silence. I can really honor the Lord through silence. You know, here's what I try to do. I'm not perfect. I'm like you guys. You know, I try to do the best I can with what God's given me. I have on my watch this in the corner, this little button that's a timer. When I hit it, 2 minutes, start counting down. And what I've tried to do is that I've tried, when I start my devotional time with the Lord, I've tried to take 2 minutes of being silent in the presence of God. Do you know that God can say more in 2 minutes of silence in his presence than in 10 or 20 minutes of us bumping our gums? You know what I'm talking about? Sometimes we're just busy running our mouth. We're busy talking. We're busy making noise because we don't know what else to do, and we fear the silence. Because either in the silence, God may not show up, or we fear that he may show up and tell us what we know he's already told us to do, and we haven't done it yet. Does that make sense? Okay. So sometimes we fear that. But I sit there and I just picture this. Lord, I just want to be in your presence. I know we're 4 minutes going over, but hang with me. I'll hit that. And it's time when you're in the presence of God, Abba Father. Not your earthly father, but Abba Father means daddy father. In other words, not just some father figure that's out there floating around kind of like, ooh. It's about a daddy father who says, I want to sit down with you. As a matter of fact, can I use you, Dad? Okay, well, come over here anyway. And I said, Lord, I just want to be in your presence. And when I was quiet, this is what it looked like. One of the funnest places in my house is where the fireplace is at. And so I just imagine God being there. When I close my eyes and I quit talking, all of a sudden it's like my daddy father showed up. And this is how I pictured it, as I was leaning into him like this. And I can't tell you how many times we really want this spiritually. Some of us men especially, thanks Dad, don't want to let that be seen. And I don't know if you could see it over there, but you got the picture. Leaning into the chest of my father. I remember as a kid when life was screwing up and I didn't know what to do, I could lean into my dad's chest and he had all the answers in the world. Then I became a teenager and I knew everything and he knew nothing. And I want to challenge you, when you spend time with God this week, first of all, if you don't spend time with God, you love him. I know, I get that, but spend time with him. And when you do, take 2 minutes, go, and just be quiet. Here's what happens a lot of times when I get in the presence of God and I get quiet. I talk. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Praise your name, Father God. And it's like the Holy Spirit goes, quit talking. Okay. Yes, Lord. Yes, I. And he gets to look like, Would you just be silent? And it's hard to be silent. It's hard to just be silent, but here's the thing. When you get silent in the presence of God, all of a sudden, he starts speaking and things start coming to the surface. You start discovering that there's something greater inside of you than anything else that you could ever find in this world. And then you go, wait a minute, I think that's a Bible verse. Could it be true? And God starts revealing you to you in a whole new way. But if you don't be quiet, if you don't stop, if you don't rest, you won't delight. And you won't get to that point of contemplation. Contemplation, we're going to talk about a little bit more as we go down the road. But my challenge to you is this. Don't let Sabbath become something that you have to work at. The Sabbath works for you. The Sabbath works for you. It's the thing that's going to keep you in the presence of God. It's the thing that's going to get you to slow down. Some of us, last week I said it, are so busy, so busy. There's brokenness, but if we keep going, we won't notice it, or at least we think others won't. But God's saying, just stop, because in the stopping, I heal. I can make you whole. Don't get so caught up in all the technicalities and customs. Get caught up in wanting to honor God with your life, that you will intentionally know what it means to stop and rest so you can delight in his presence. Amen. Father, I thank you. I thank you that you love us so much, that you're willing to speak the truth to us in love. Lord, there's many of us here today that are so busy right now, and we don't even understand this concept of stopping. I don't know how I could do it. But Lord, you're going to reveal that to us. Not only are you going to reveal it, but you're going to help us accomplish more than we could ever get done on our own. So Lord, I pray that as we take time to seek you, that you will make yourself known to us. I just simply want to ask, this whole stopping in his presence and hearing him only comes as a result of knowing him. Are you here today and you've not made that decision? You've not asked Jesus to come into your heart and it's something that needs to be done. I'm just going to ask, if that's you, just raise your hand real quick so I can see who you are. I want to pray. If that's you, you're saying, that's me. I want to make a decision today. I want to make things right. Okay, God sees the hands. Okay. Father, you see everyone who has responded. And Lord, I pray today that you would make yourself known and reveal yourself in a mighty way. Lord, as we leave here today, Church of the Open Door, Clinton, Iowa, Lord, we're going to take a step and say, Lord, we're going to take you at your word, and we're going to honor you and keep you and your word holy. So, Lord, we pray that in the process, that you will reveal yourself to us in a fresh new way. So, Father, we thank you, we love you, and we ask this all in your name. Amen. 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 Will you stand with me this morning? We're going to be, you're going to see a lot more. If you've not gotten the emails yet, has anyone gotten an email when you signed up? Okay, I'm going to check on that, and we're going to see what's up with that. But if you want a candle, go buy one at Hobby Lobby. We're going to be eventually talking about what it means to prepare for the Sabbath. We've got a book we're going to give you that's written by a doctor that talks about Sabbath. It's just a lot of good stuff. Don't let it become overwhelming. Don't let it become something like, oh my gosh, I've got to study and figure this all out so we can change our whole world. No, just be who you are. Just invite God to be a part of it. And just this pause moment, this time out. This is God's time. All right? I love you guys. I will see you later. God bless you. You're dismissed.